Father, I just thank you today for all these wonderful people who have come out to sit at your table, to glean from you, to be fed the rich manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking that each and every soul that came through this door this day, that they leave changed, they leave different, Father God. They leave so full of you that nothing else will matter. And Father God, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to us. I thank you for your angelic host who are going to and fro throughout these chairs this day, touching your people. And Father God, we love you and we praise you. We give you all honor and all glory. And we thank you for this wonderful Memorial Weekend where we can honor those who serve for our country. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you notice, we all have our t-shirts on. We put our t-shirts on so that we could do that today because we won't be here Monday. Amen. This morning, God wants to talk about long-suffering. And that's something the body of Christ has not yet gotten the full truth of, is long-suffering. Long-suffering is a fourth fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now I want you to read that again, and I want you to check your fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. If we would really live, Galatians 5:22-26, the body of Christ would really be a testimony for the world, would it not? We would be a testimony for our households. If just one person would walk in Galatians 5:22-26, you could change your whole household. We come into the house of God and we pretend we're something we're not. Then we go home, then we are what we are. We're uncircumcised Philistines, right? And we don't even act like we just came from church. And God wants all that to change. Now, the word in the New Testament rendered long-suffering is attributed to God of his bearing long with sinners and slowness to execute judgment on them. So it's the word in the New Testament rendered long-suffering is attributed to God of his bearing long with sinners. Do you bear long with sinners? We're supposed to be just like God, right? And slowness to execute judgment on them. Are you slow to execute judgment on sinners? Romans 2:4 and 9:22 and 2 Peter 3:9 is where you'll find scriptures to back that up. Now, long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit in man, which Christians are frequently exhorted to cherish and show one toward the other. Paul says it belongs to the love without which all else is nothing. You know, if you don't have love, you're absolutely nothing to begin with. But if you have love but not long-suffering, then your love is to no effect. Because in order to really love the way you should love and the way God wants us to love, we have to be long-suffering. And I don't know about you, but we are in amongst people who are going to need our love and our long-suffering. They're going to have to know our love and our compassion because they're messed up. They've been in the world too long. And the world is telling them a lie, and they believe the lie because they have not yet known the truth. But if each one of you in here this morning would take somebody the truth, we would see a great harvest of souls, wouldn't we? Now, they might not receive you whenever you give it to them, but you planted a seed. And what's the word say? Somebody will come along, water it, and someone will come along and harvest it. So if all you do is plant a seed, that is good for God. Somebody has to plant the seed somewhere. How many of you, you know, when you planted a seed and somebody comes along running that person down and they're never going to change, you're never going to be any good, they just about smother your seed right out because you speak all that negative stuff to them. We as a body of Christ, we need to stop doing it because that happens in the body of Christ a lot. And God doesn't like that at all. So if you know a sinner, you were once one too. And you need to understand how long-suffering God was with you. I think I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right, long-suffering is a gift that my... This is God speaking. Long-suffering is a gift that my body does not embrace. See, that God said this. My body wants me to be long-suffering with them, but they do not want to give those round about them the same grace. God said, I am commanding long-suffering at this. He's commanding long-suffering at this given time. God said, what is long-suffering all about anyway? He says, long-suffering is when you stay with the unlovable, no matter how long it takes to see them through the darkness they are encountering. Long-suffering is when you will die to self and at all costs keep loving them through the difficult storms of life. Let's go back and see what God says about long-suffering, because if I took a little raise of hands, I don't think too many would be able to tell me the truth here. God says, what is long-suffering all about anyhow? Anyway, long-suffering is when you stay with the unlovable, no matter how long it takes to see them through the darkness they are encountering. Long-suffering is when you will die to self and at all costs keep loving them through the difficult storms of life. God says, do you think that when I sin in the world, they will automatically be set free from all pain and bondage? Do you seriously think they will be glorified? No, they will need understanding, love, and whatever it takes to set them free from all bondages of darkness. Did you hear what God said? They're not going to be glorified. They're not going to be wiped clean. They're going to need somebody to take them by the hand and lead them and you know, speak to them about the love of Christ. God said, you see, body, you still do not comprehend the scripture that tells you, do not forget from whence you came. We all forget that we were sinners at one point, don't we, at times? And we're dealing with somebody else, and we just act like we've always been a saint. Ephesians 2:11 says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In other words, they weren't really saved. They just got circumcised. And verse 12 says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And see, I see this all the time in the body of Christ. You sit in the house of God and you raise your hand and speak in tongues and hallelujah and amen, and all the time you're not saved inside. You still have that religious spirit in there that still acts up. We have to be saved from the inside out. We have to be gloriously purged from all sin, inside out. And if you think that you're all that and then some, start checking your own fruit. Check how you act with your family members first, and then say with the people you work with, even outsiders you run across. See how you act. Are you really, truly saved from the inside out? And by using the word saved, I mean cleansed. You're really purified, really holy like Jesus was. And don't tell me that he was holy because he's the Son of God, but he was still man. All right? And if he could do it, we can do it. And we don't do it because either we don't try hard enough, or we like the sin that we're in and we hold on to it. And I only say that because that's what God has said. All right? You say, well, you don't know how hard I'm trying. You know, really, truly, I do. I was dealing with a person one time, and God said to that person through me, Only you and I know how hard you're really trying to get out of your sin. But I knew the person was really trying really hard. But God let everybody know in the church through a prophetic word that only you and I know how hard you're trying to get out of this sin. And so, in other words, what he was saying to this person, I knew it was true because I was watching it. He was at home weeping and crying out to God, reading his scriptures and binding the devil, you know, trying to set himself free. He did not want to be in the sin he was in. He was working really super hard at getting out of it. And if you're really trying super hard at getting out of sin, God will bring it to the light. He'll let people know that you're really trying to get out of sin and that you are not holding on to that sin nature because you like it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 said, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the cornerstone of Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." God is wanting, he's going to have this harvest. I don't care what y'all do. He's going to have this harvest of souls. And he's going to bring the harvest of souls into the church. And what God has been doing is trying to get the church to a place where they can minister to the world that he's bringing into the church. Because the way the church has been is, if he'd have brought them in a month ago, you'd have made them worse than what they were before they ever came in. And they wouldn't want no more of God. And God's been trying to get the church cleaned up so then the church can minister to those that God is going to send in. Are you understanding this? You know, the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch, right? If you're not living a holy life, if you're not living a sanctified life, and you know, how can you tell somebody else how to live? You know, how can you teach them how to live if you yourself are still in bondage? And I don't mean if you've been trying to get free and you're still not free yet. I mean if you're sitting in the house of God and just not trying to do nothing, but you're still in sin. How are you going to speak to somebody else and say, God can do this for you? He did it for me. He can do it for you. Then God said, where do we go from here, church? What do we do next? We love, this is what God said, we love like never before. That's what we have to do. We walk the throes of hell and we pull the lost and destitute out of the fires of hell. That is what we do. Let's read that again. You want to know what you're supposed to do next? Where do we go from here, church? What do we do next? We love like never before. We walk the throes of hell and we pull the lost and destitute out of the fires of hell. That is what we do. The drugs out there, the alcohol's out there, the perversion's out there, you know, pornography, it's all out there. But when God sends the people in, we all know that men and women both are bound in pornography. We know that. And we held classes on that twice now, to show the people how to be set free. But when these people come in from the streets, they're going to still have all this baggage with them. God's not going to take the baggage off of them and send them in. God's sending them in the house so we can love like never before. We're going to have to love that unlovable person. And then we have to walk through the throes of hell with that person till we see them totally and completely set free. And see them one day set in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Church, are you really ready to do that? Are you really ready to go out there and minister to the lost and the dying the way they need to be ministered to? Are you living the life you're supposed to be living where God can use you at any given moment to speak to somebody? Let the anointing flow out of you. Are you really living like that? And does your life really make a difference when you walk into a room? Do you take the Holy Spirit with you? Do you even have the Holy Spirit in his fullness? And I'm not saying you don't have it, but do you have it in all of its fullness? See, that's a difference. You can have the Holy Spirit, but you don't have it in all of its fullness. If you have the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness, when you walk in the room, you're going to make a difference. The electricity is going to be in the atmosphere. And people are going to know that somebody has walked in the room. And they're going to turn around and want to see who walked into the room. And if they see you, what they should see is Jesus. And they should know they're standing in the very presence of the Most High God. God said, but the only way we can do this, what he just talked about, love and walk, but the only way we can do this is by using the gift of the Spirit, which is long-suffering. You know, just I want to ask you a question. Don't speak it out loud, but how many, if you stop and think about it right now, how many of you know that God has placed you on assignment with a person that took a lot of long-suffering? You had to go through a lot to see them come through and be set free. How many of you in here this morning can, you know, don't raise your hand, but just answer yourself. Have I really, has God put me on assignment and I couldn't deal with the person he put me with? And so instead of being long-suffering, I just said, you know, let them get lost, stay lost if they want to stay lost. See what I'm saying here? Or did you stay with them and did you minister to them? Did you pray with them? Did you fast for them? Until God said, it's finished. This is where God's taken us to. Long suffering. God said, I gave you that gift right up front, long suffering. It is not something I threw out on at the end. See that? You see, I know all things, and I surely know that long suffering is needed more than ever at this given time. For the world has been turned over to every degradation imaginable, and many, many souls facing the eternal fires of damnation, if my church does not arise with long-suffering in their wings. Church is not the same as it's been. God's been dealing with us about that for years now, and now I'm hearing another pastor saying church has changed. It is not the same. We cannot hold church like we used to hold it. We just cannot come in and sing a few songs and whoop and yell and carry on and then go out. We have to be changed. And we have to be full of the fire and the power of God where we can minister to the lost and dying that come into the house of God. All right, I said, long-suffering is needed more than ever at this given time, for the world has been turned over to every degradation imaginable, and many, many souls facing the eternal fires of damnation, if my church does not arise with long-suffering in their wings. And then he says, compassion is also a byword that my church has long ago forgotten. Have you all been noticing how the total world is turning upside down? I mean, you hear things and read things that you never thought you'd ever hear or read. The degradation is awful. And I can't believe how TV has turned into the most corrupt thing you're one to watch. And I just can't believe how people act. They act like heathens. They act like they had no upbringing. It didn't used to be like that when we were younger, was it? But it is now. And even in businesses, I can't believe how people talk to one another. There's no regard for or respect for anybody. The world, you know, God told us 10, 15 years ago the darkness was going to come, but gross darkness was going to come. I guess it can still get grosser, if that's a word. You know, the darkness can still get darker, but it is really, really dark out there. Guys, how bright is your light? How bright is your light? Is Jesus really shining through you? Is he really doing a works within you? You know, all right, God says, I have shed my compassion upon the church, but as usual, the church does not want to shed the same compassion upon the lost and dying. That's true. Since when are you the only ones that need compassion? Since when do you think that just as I bestowed long suffering and compassion on you, that you need not give it out to others? How lopsided is this church? This is God speaking. How and when do you ever think that I would allow this kind of lopsidedness? I have forever proclaimed that my body needed to be well-rounded, but that has gone right over your heads. Get your head out of the sand and look up and know that the hour is late and I need willing vessels that will die continually, day in and day out, to my calling upon their lives. All right, I'm just going to give myself an example. I've been fussing about something that's going on in my home. And then Brother Brett did a teaching Wednesday night. And as I was sitting there, God said, why are you fussing about what's going on in your home? You're the only light there. You're supposed to be shining your light into that darkness and bringing them out of that darkness. I repented and I haven't complained since. But how many of you are doing the same thing? You say you're a child of God, but yet you're living in a house where there's sin, and all you do is complain about it instead of pray about it and keep covering the blood of Jesus over it. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? You know, we aren't doing what God wants us to do. Now, we know that we're messengers from heaven, right? Sent down here to do an assignment for God, right? It's in the Word, we preach that. Then why are you complaining about your assignment? You can't pick and choose your assignments, you know. So what are we doing here? Complaining and complaining and complaining when we should be long-suffering and full of compassion. All right? I said, you in my house, I really have. Everybody that lives in my house has been homeless at one point. And they come knock my door and so. We don't have no place to go. And so I brought them in. But the last person I brought in, they're fussing about them. And the person is a wonderful person. I said, what are y'all complaining about? You were homeless too, and I took you in. So why are you complaining? See what I'm saying? They wanted me to let them in. But they want to complain about somebody else I brought in. And I don't bring anybody in that God doesn't tell me to bring in. See, and I don't think I'm the only one that lives like that. I think a lot of people in the house of God live with sin of some sort in their home. Instead of praying about it and, oh, woe is me, and look at poor me has to put up with. And we don't pray about it. We just complain about it. And what God wants us to do is start praying about it. This is where we're at, guys. Are you going to line up with God's word? Or are you going to just not worry about long-suffering? Then whenever you need long-suffering from God and compassion, you're not going to get it. God said, I need you to lay down your own agendas and pick up heaven's agenda for this end-time dispensation. Souls, souls, souls is what heaven is shouting. Heaven has always shouted souls, but now as heaven invades earth, all earth should be resounding the voice of heaven, souls at all costs. Do you understand? You all know we're in a 40-year new 40-year dispensation of time. And in this 40-year dispensation of time, it's about the harvest. It's about harvesting those souls that are lost and crying out. They're crying out, don't know who they're crying out to, but really they're crying out to God. They need salvation. And this is what it's all about. God said, someone paid the price to save your soul. So where is your long-suffering and compassion? Come, my children, come out from amongst the world and be totally and completely immersed in me and work the works that need to be worked at this given time. Come on, you guys. Just can't say, well, I go to church. I'm a bishop, you know. I'm a deacon in the church. That God doesn't like names at all. Are you really? But I don't care if you go to church or not. You could sit at home and still work the works of God. A lot of people don't like going to the house of God because they don't like what they see. They already have that. And I've had people say to me, well, I already have in my home what I see in church. So why should I get dressed up and go to church? See, and that isn't how it should be, is it? It should be, I'm excited to go to church because I see God there and God touches me and God does this and God does that. Right? Then God said, shout, shout, shout the victory at all cost. Never for one instant allow the enemy to have a victory. Now, how many of you allow the enemy to have victories, victory after victory over your life? God said, you are in the victory circle and he, the enemy, is outside the circle. Keep shouting the victory and thrust that sickle in and bring in the harvest of souls that I so long for you to bring in. Come on, guys, can you just say to God right now, God, I want to harvest those souls for you. I want to be one of those that thrust the sickle in this morning. I want to go forth, and I don't want to just to be another face in the crowd. I want to stand out. I want Jesus in me, and I want to be able to win the souls for Christ. Come on. God says, keep shouting victory and thrust that sickle in and bring in the harvest of souls I so long for you to bring in. Then he says, run, run towards the roar of the Lion of Judah, for that roar is full of my might and my power. Never for one instant believe anything else. The roar of the Lion of Judah is full of my might and my power, and never for one instant believe anything else. How many of you really believe that God has all power and all authority? Then let's start living it, right? Wherever you go, let people see that you believe that your God has all power and all authority. I live with some backsliders in my home, and believe me, they give me a hard time about my walk with God. But I keep on going, and I don't let them run my God down. I just smile and say, you prodigal, you'll come back home, because God's promised me that. And I don't quit talking about God, because if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be here. Do you understand this? You wouldn't be here. The devil would have killed you a long time ago. If it wouldn't be for God, you wouldn't have what you have. Come on. I mean, God is real. It was in the beginning and still is today. And you need to walk like he is real. You need to talk like he is real. You guys are on the street ministry. You know, if you go out there and one Saturday he's real, next Saturday he's blah, you're not going to win any souls to Christ. You cannot compromise your walk with God in any way, shape, or form. God said, have I not said you are the victor? Have I not said there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper? Did not my son die for you? Did he not lay down his life and allow his blood to be shed for you? God said, then why can't you do the very same thing for other lost souls? Why can't you die to self daily and pick up your cross and go forth as my son Jesus did? Could it be selfishness? Could it be doubt and unbelief? Could it be that unforgiving nature that says you deserve whatever you get, world? I used to have that when I was first born again. Well, if you're a sinner, then you deserve whatever you get. I didn't bother ministering to you because I didn't know I should. But once I realized what my job was, then I started ministering to people. And when God took me to hell 3 times, let me see what happened to the people. I never want anybody to go to hell. I am more than willing to minister and to have long suffering and compassion for those who are lost and dying. Amen. Come on. God says, come, my children, did I do that to you? Did I turn my back upon you? Absolutely not. I sent my son to the cross to die and rise again so you could one day sit in heavenly places with your Maker. I am the great I am, and I never leave nor forsake my peoples. Why do you act like God left you? You do that when you act dumb. When you dumb foolish things, you act like God isn't even around. Isn't that the truth? That's why you do dumb things. One day I got upset and I said something, and God said, I'm still here. I just heard what you said. So he never leaves. I knew that. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He stays right there with you. God said, yes, it is true that the lost have done terrible things, but since when is their sin more devastating than your sins were? Just, if you really read the word, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's going on today was going on in the Old Testament, right on through the New Testament, if you really read the word. I mean, when I found that out, I was devastated because I thought that people who lived in Bible days were just about the most holiest things in the world until I found out that they were doing the same sins then that's going on now. I don't know about y'all, but that doesn't make it right. I mean, God destroyed those cities because of homosexuality in them, didn't he? And everybody in it, and they all went to hell. They didn't go to heaven. All right. And God said, I am love. I am long-suffering. I am compassionate. I am full of grace, and that grace covers all sin. I need you to become just like me, and I need you to carry those gifts to a devastated world that has no hope for the future. Did you hear what he said? I need you to become... All right, let's read what he is. I am love. I am long-suffering. I am compassionate. I am full of grace, and that grace covers all sin. Then God said, I need you to become just like me, and I need you to carry those gifts to a devastated world that has no hope for the future. My word tells you that greater works will you do than what my son did. Do you not believe my word? Do you not believe that there is a greater works out there that needs attending to? If you believe this, then you have to also believe that I need workers in this harvest field. Let's just stop there. Jesus said that you will do greater works than I did. Now, was Jesus ever in sin? No. So if we're going to do the works that he did and the greater works, then we cannot be in sin either. We cannot say, well, God understands my heart. Yeah, he really does. He really does. And he knows that you're sinning and just using excuses to sin. So if you're going to do the work, greater works, don't look to do the greater works that Jesus did unless you're willing to get your life totally, completely cleansed of all sin. All right, God said, if you believe this, then you have to also believe that I need workers in the harvest field. Will you be one of those workers? Okay, I have to sort of grin here because all you guys come in here this morning. God knew exactly he was going to be here this morning. Now these questions are for you. Will you be one of those workers? Will you lay aside all your needs, all of your opinions, and will you just go forth full of my glory and get rid of all compromise and just do? You just didn't willy-nilly walk in it. Well, yes, so-and-so invited me. They might have invited you, but God's been inviting you for a long time, and this is your time, this is your season, and God's calling you to be a worker in his kingdom. But to be a worker in his kingdom, you have to do everything we just read before that. Amen. All right, God said, we just go forth full of my glory and get rid of all compromise and just do. Do the works of the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. See that? Do the works of the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Help me prepare for the second coming of my son. This harvest must be brought in before the event of the second coming occurs. Time is so short and souls are going into the abyss every day. You can stop some of the flow into the abyss by taking up your cross and following me daily. Do you understand, guys? I don't know where you go to church at, but do you understand that the people in your church are not really saved? They're not really going to heaven. That they've been sitting in compromise for years and years and years, and God has brought you here this morning to tell you compromise can no longer exist. You either have to live a holy life or just walk on, because you cannot save the lost if you have not paid the cost. I just heard God say that. And how many of you really paid the cost? How many of you have really crucify your flesh every day? Every time the devil comes at you to make you do something that's contrary to the word of God, do you really fight him, or do you give in to him? Do you really tell him where to go? And with that song this morning that we sang, the last one, God told me to do that twice. And what he wanted for you to do is to realize who you are in God. And he wanted you to destroy that giant that's in your life, trying to keep you hindered from doing the things that God's calling you forth to do. Now, I don't know if you got out of bondage or not. I hope you did, because I did what God told me to do. And God always wants to do a works in his people. Then God says, the seconds are ticking away and the works are not yet completed. You're the lost souls. Come forth right now and surrender all of yourself to me. Come forth and allow all of myself to be poured into you for this perfect works that will be accomplished. He said, I love you, church, and I'm standing this morning waiting for your surrender. He says, will you come? Now, God is calling you right here to be workers in his kingdom. You can no longer remain as you were before you walked through the doors. You have to make a good quality decision in your mind that you are not going to be the same person ever again that you were before you walked through the doors and heard God's word. Now, this is all God's word. This is his prophetic word to us. That's what how he's been doing. He's been prophetically speaking to us. It's not anything that I made up. It's just strictly God's word. So he said, the seconds are ticking away and the works are not yet completed. You know, God just keeps telling me, some of you in here, you want to rub elbows with the elite in the house of God, and the rubbing of the elbows of the elite is not going to get you into heaven. And you know, and I keep hearing bishop. You need to get the word bishop out of your head and replace it with Jesus. You could say, I'm bishop so-and-so to your blue in the face, but that's not going to take you to heaven. And I don't know why God said, but somebody in here, you have to get out of that mindset. I'm Joe and I belong to Jesus is what you should say. Amen. Come on. I'm Bishop so-and-so and I go to so-and-so's church. Well, you know, is that church going to heaven? You need to think about these things. God said this name calling has got to stop. It just has to stop. And you have to become a child of God. Who cares what the church title the church put on you? God wants you in your fullness, just the way he made you. And he uses your personality. He uses who you are. But he wants you also to become holy as he is holy. And once you get that holiness in you, you won't care what people call you. You won't care if they call you, stupid, or you won't care if they call you a fanatic. You won't care if they call you Beelzebub. I've had all these names called to me. You just know you're in Christ. That's all you care about. You just know that you're full of God and full of the Holy Spirit, and that God is using you to win souls to Christ. That's all you need. That's all you're worried about. You won't even worry about it. You just know who you are in Christ. So God says, the seconds are ticking away and the works are not yet completed. Come forth right now and surrender all of yourself to me. All of yourself to me. Come forth and allow all of myself be poured into you for this perfect works that will be accomplished. I love you, church, and I'm standing this morning waiting for your surrender. Will you come? That's an invitation from God. The altar's open, and God is saying, will you come? Give me all of yourself, and let me put all of myself in you. Are you what you're doing here this morning, you're committing yourself to God, saying, God, I am a willing vessel that will go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do. I'm willing, God, to die every single solitary day and take up my cross and be a soul winner for you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. It's your walk with God, not somebody else's. You are the one that has to stand before God one day and be judged. You won't take your brother and sister with you.